On today's edition of Chapter and Verse, let's open with this thought from Mike McIntosh, taken from the Gospel of John.
Jesus is the truth. And if you're of the truth, I don't have to argue, or nobody has to argue with you. You'll hear the truth, and Jesus said the truth will set you free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And what am I talking about, set free? All of a sudden you realize that the chains are gone, and that you now see, whoa, there's a whole world going on around me I never understood before. There's a physical and there's a spiritual, and you're physical and there's a spirit growing inside of you, and you are going to know the truth.
And I'll stand up and shout and praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and say,
what is truth? That's the interesting subject and title of today's Chapter and Verse radio program with Mike McIntosh. As we turn to the 18th chapter of John, we find Jesus being questioned by Pontius Pilate in what would prove to be an illegal trial of an innocent man. Although Pilate questions what is truth, he could clearly see that Jesus had done no wrong. Yet the Jews insisted on having Christ put to death. Now let's go to the book of John and join Mike McIntosh as he begins our study today titled, What is Truth?
You've been asked by God with your life to let him speak to other people through you. And he commanded us to preach to the people, to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness. Now he's pointing towards the Old Testament. To tell him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Are there sins in your life today that you wish could be remitted? Of course. You say, no, I'm not a sinner. No, the Bible says, just like these guys lied, you're lying to yourself. Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each and every one of us unto our own way. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what we want is a Father who loves us when we're the weakest. And when our devotion is the lowest, he loves us the most. And when we have things that we have committed and erred in, we want a Father that forgives us and hears us and doesn't keep dragging us through the mud and reminding us how weak we are. Because we're all weak. We all have our issues. It's called God's grace. And so he gets up and preaches in this Gentile's house that Jesus went about doing good. So why have you brought Jesus to me? Well, he's an evildoer. They're liars. And you do not want to believe what other people say about Jesus. You want to ask him yourself. And he'll tell you. Not only that, he will show you. In verse 31, then Pilate said unto them, you take him and judge him. And look at this, according to your law. Well, the Roman law was the power, but for some reason the Caesars in Rome allowed the Jews to have their Judaic law and to live by it because they did not want them erupting into riots. And the Jews therefore said unto him, look at this. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. See, they've already decided what they're going to do. They did not give him a trial. No, take him, judge him according to your law. Well, it's not right that we put him to death. They've not only judged him, they've already condemned him. And the worldly law is being subservient to their self-righteous law and saying, go ahead and you handle this. And they say, well, it's a criminal punishment and it's a felony and it's death. So we don't have the right to execute somebody. You have to do that. So you see, he didn't get a fair trial. He didn't get a fair shake. Now, you may say, I don't get a fair trial. I don't get a fair shake. I didn't get everything in my way. But the Lord is our example. He knows that. He knows every injustice in your life, in your heart. He knows everything that has happened against you unfairly and unkindly. But he allowed it all to happen to him so that when he went to the cross, everything of my account that's written in the books was taken out of my account and put in his account, and he became the sinner and I became the free man. You're a free man. You're free. You're free. And you don't have to strive to be perfect. You don't have to strive to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee or be the chief priest like Caiaphas. You don't have to please the world and get along with the world. You just love him and let him love you back. And things just seemed to work their way out. They'd already condemned him in their hearts. And maybe today, before you take this communion, you sit here or you're watching on television or you're watching on the internet or you're listening on the radio, and you've already condemned Jesus in your heart. You've blasphemed him. You use Jesus Christ as a swear word. You don't believe in him. You don't believe that he died for you. You don't believe that you can have eternal life. And therefore, you have justified why you live, the raucous lifestyle you live, the worldly, comfortable lifestyle you live, the selfish, self-centered lifestyle you live, is because you've already judged Jesus. You've done exactly what they have done. If I were to say to you, choose this day whom you'll serve. If I were to say to you, Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come to me. He said, I'm not going to go to him. He's not real. I don't believe in him. That's not true. I like what Malcolm and Alwyn said in their song, Fool's Wisdom. He said he found some fool's wisdom in a leather-backed book. And when I opened up the pages of the book, what did I find but a black and white portrait of a king who's a friend of mine? And that's who Jesus is. But if you don't give him a chance, you've already condemned him. How foolish for you to pass judgment without really knowing the true story. And the wonderful thing is he doesn't need me or some preacher or pastor to defend him. He can talk to you pretty well. He can greet you in the parking lot with a flat tire, dead battery. He can meet you as you're buying your San Diego Union from the guy over here in the corner. And you're making his Porsche payment for him. He can just talk to you through your kids, your family, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. He can talk to you by you losing your job. He can talk to you by giving you a huge sale of real estate or something. He can talk to you through so many avenues. But it's not lawful for us to put him to death. So they've already with their own lips confessed that bitterness, hatred, anger, jealousy, and envy rules in their life more than truth. So Pilate, in the 32nd verse, is kind of shook up here. He's wanting to do the right thing. He doesn't want to get in trouble with Caesar back in Rome. And so he says in the 32nd verse, you take him, you judge him. Therefore the Jews said to him, it's not lawful that for us putting anybody to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. And Pilate entered the praetorium, comes into that place of judgment. And he called Jesus to him. Look what he says. He calls him to him and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews? You see, in the Roman Empire, there were no kings except for Caesar. Caesar was worshipped as deity. And for Pilate to even begin to mock, are you the king of the Jews? They knew there were no kings. They had them, you know, right where they wanted them. They were too powerful to allow a military might to rise up out of the Middle East through the Jews. And so he says, are you the king of the Jews? Are you a lunatic? Are you nuts? Are you insane? Or are you who you say you are? He's asking a pretty profound question. And Jesus either has to be a complete lunatic or a liar, or he is the truth. You have to choose. There aren't too many options. Are you the king of the Jews? I've heard about you. I want to know. What do you have to say? And Jesus says, do you say this thing of yourself, or did other people tell you about me? If you were to die this afternoon at 4 o'clock, instantly you leave your body, boom, you go right to the Lord, and you would have to say, you are the king. I didn't know that down there, but I know it up here. It's like those tickets in Switzerland. There is a grace period for you to know right from wrong. But then when the grace period is over, the tickets are issued. The same with our life. So you may want to ask him, are you the king of all kings? Not only the Jews, but the Bible says he's the king of all kings. So Jesus wants to know, okay, you want to ask me a question, I'll ask you a question. Are you wanting to be evangelized right now? Are you wanting to really know who I am so that your soul could be saved and you could go to heaven? Or are you only repeating this because of what you've heard other people say? Are you just mimicking this thing? He's witnessing to him right there. So don't go on what others say, just ask him. It is interesting that the Jews came to Pilate when Jesus was crucified, and they put in Hebrew, Latin, and Aramaic, or Greek and Aramaic, they put a sign above his head, and all the people that were crucified, usually tied, some that they were making a great statement, were nailed, as Jesus was, to the cross. But there's always a sign telling the name and the city and what the crime was for, that they're dying. And it says, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. And the Jews came to him and said, don't put that he is the king of the Jews. Put that he says he's the king of the Jews. You see, it's very possible Pontius Pilate found out that he was the king. Because he put it up there, but he also put it up there in the flesh to mock the Jews and to irritate the Jews. So Pilate answered and said to him in verse 35, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation, the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? What have you done that I have to let you go? Tell me what you've done. Give me some help here. I want to let you go." But he knew what he had done. He had done nothing. You see, if you read the Bible, you get to put pieces together and you realize that in another place, Matthew chapter 27, verse 18 and 19, the greatest influence in Pontius Pilate's life was the greatest influence in every man's life. It was his wife. And in the 27th chapter, it says, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him when he was set down on the judgment seat." He knew why he was there. "And his wife sent unto him, saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Boy, I tell you, if I get a phone call in my office and Sandy says, da-da-da-da, I'm going to respond to what my wife says. Any of you men would do it. But to be the guy that could go on the right hand and say, "You die," and the left hand, "You live," and to have your wife come to you as you're there, say, "Don't have anything to do with him. He's a just man. Don't do anything wrong. I've suffered a lot in dreams, and this guy's a good guy." So now Pilate wants to really release him because, see, he has to live with her. And these are just the politicians over here. And Jesus answered in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here." Now this word kingdom, you all have an image in your mind of Disneyland or something, a kingdom. It literally means royal power, kingship, dominion, or rule. But according to Strong's Greek Hebrew dictionary, it says, "Do not be confused with an actual kingdom, but the word rather means the right or the authority to rule over a kingdom." Whoa, back up for a minute. My authority to rule over this kingdom that is called the world, it's not mine. Well, there is somebody ruling over this world, and we already know who it is. It's the devil. He was an administrator that God allowed to come to this planet that has corrupted the planet by the administration of drawing all the wealth to himself, and he's behind the scenes. Don't you find it interesting that when Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights to pray and fast, that when Satan comes to tempt him, the first thing is, "You haven't eaten for 40 days and night. Turn the stones into bread." And then Jesus gives him the scripture. "Oh, come up to this pinnacle here at the temple and throw yourself down for the scripture." So you want to use scripture? Satan knows scripture. The Bible says that the angels will pick you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he says you should worship the Lord your God only. He gives him all the answers. But one of the great ones was he took him up to a mountain and he opened up all the kingdoms of the world and said, "All of these I will give to you if you'll but bow down and worship me." You see, the word kingdom here means the authority to rule. He was over the entertainment kingdom, the military kingdom, the finance kingdom, the political kingdom, the education kingdom, the health kingdom. You name all the kingdoms of the world. Satan is in charge of them. Jesus said, "My authority to rule over what's going on in this world isn't of this kingdom. And if it were, my servants would come and fight and there would be a great invasion of planet Earth and it would be taken care of today. My kingdom comes." And that's what he prayed. "Thy kingdom come, your will be done." So, if you're under the rule of the world system and the world system wants to yank your chain, then you're lost. And if you've bowed your knee to say, "Oh, for money, I'll do this. Oh, for fame or you know, recognition, I'll do this, I'll compromise here," you're under the ruler of this world. He's the ruler of all. But this world is going to be judged and its leader. So it's very important for you to realize not to be confused with the actual kingdom, but rather the right or the authority to rule. So in verse 37, Pilate says to him, "Are you a king then? Answer me." He's got him. "You say that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. That's an easy one. You don't have to have a thread of background at all. If you want to know the truth will set you free. If you don't want to know religion, I agree with you. If you want to know the truth, if you really want to know God, Jesus just gave you the key to doing so. That everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate is flabbergasted. What is truth? And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said, I find no fault in him at all. Let him go. Here's a man seeking truth. And John 14 tells us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Listen carefully. I've done a lot of searching in my life for the truth. Consciously searching. In the 60s, I went every direction you could. So listen carefully. If you make on your job $1 million a year, this applies to you. If you make $100,000 a year on your job, this applies to you. If you make $10,000 a year on your job, you need to apply for another job. This will still apply to you. If you're a Buddhist, I understand. If you're an American Buddhist, then a Zen Buddhist and an Alan Watts Buddhist, I understand. If you're a transcendental meditator or you're a Scientologist or you're out there on some mystical trip, listen. Jesus is the truth. And if you're of the truth, I don't have to argue or nobody has to argue with you. You'll hear the truth. And Jesus said, the truth will set you free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And what am I talking about, set free? All of a sudden you realize that the chains are gone and that you now see, whoa, there's a whole world going on around me I never understood before. There's a physical and there's a spiritual. And you're physical and there's a spirit growing inside of you. And you are going to know the truth. When Jesus, in closing, I'll ask the gentleman to come up to serve you communion, was hanging on the cross, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And that means, my God, why have you forsaken me? The scriptures say that when he was hanging on the cross, that all stood afar off from him. And maybe you have condemned Jesus in your heart already and have never given him a chance to be your Savior. Maybe you're standing afar off today. But when communion is served, it is in remembrance of the upper room situation when Jesus broke bread. He said, take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. And he took the cup of the wine. He said, take, drink, this is my blood that is shed for the remission of your sins. And he knew and they knew that the Old Testament says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of your sin. There's truth. There is no way you can get away from what's gnawing at you inside, because sin gnaws at everyone. And it ultimately will take you down to the pit. Have you ever thought of how lonely, how deeply lonely and alienated the rejection was for Jesus on the cross? Have you ever been lonely? Have you ever even said to yourself quietly out for a walk or surfing or hiking in the mountains or something, I'm just so lonely inside. I just feel like there's nobody I can talk to. You feel so alienated. You feel maybe you've been rejected. The loneliness that Jesus must have felt, that he cried out, where are you, God? Have you ever felt that? God, where are you? I was counseling with a man last night that was suicidal. And he just said, I have no reason to live. I've lost my family. I've lost my job. I have no money. I owe this. I owe that. I don't know if I should live anymore. There's no reason to live anymore. I'm just so lonely. Loneliness. You want to talk about being lonely? My sins so alienated Jesus from our Father that he had to cry out, why have you forsaken me? He knows loneliness. Have you ever thought about that handsome young guy named Joseph that had the visions of the 12 sheaves bowing down to him? And it was a vision of him having his brothers older bowing to him and his father bowing to him, and they didn't like him, and Dad favored him. And so Dad gave him a coat of many colors, and a coat of many colors was a sign of a prince. And it was in a way that Jacob was saying, you're going to be the head of this clan. But he was favoring him, and it turned his brothers against him. And he went to see how they were doing out in the fields one day, and they said, here comes our little brother, let's kill him. And one of the brothers said, no, this would break Dad's heart if we killed him. We can't kill him. Let's do something else. Somebody else says, I know what. Let's throw him in a pit. And they threw him in a pit. Big old hole. And they took that coat of many colors and they killed an animal and they poured blood all over it and they shredded it. And then they went home to Dad and said, Dad, the son that you love so much, he was attacked by a wild beast and here's his coat. He's dead. And they lied to their dad. You know, then the Midianites came by in their caravan. They said, let's sell him and get him out of sight. Sometimes we try to cover up our sins. We think nobody's going to find out about it like that. Let's get him out of country and then he's out of sight. And they sell him and they take him and they into Egypt and he's sold to be an administrator. And he becomes an administrator all the time, Dad thinking that he's dead. But let's back up for a moment. Could you imagine what it would be like to have your own brothers turn on you and hate you so much and then throw you in a pit? What would it have been like for that boy to have been down that pit to hear the howling of the coyotes or to know the poisonous desert snakes are out there or the black scorpions are there? The frightening to look up and all you can see is stars in that clear desert night. But you're just a young guy and you've been rejected by the people closest to you. Jesus knows that feeling. Not because he deserved it, but because you and I deserve it. And he took it. That boy finally came out of that pit. And you can't help but think of Psalm 40 where it says that God has heard my cry. And he has lifted me out of a miry pit and he has put me on solid ground. So some of you, the big hand of God is coming into the pit right now. And he's getting you out of that slippery mud. You're trying to get up and you keep slipping down. And you can't have any solid thing going on in your life. And he's putting you up on the solid rock, and he's going to take you to a far land. He's going to bless you. But just when he thought he was out in the clear, then that wife comes and tries to seduce him and have a soap opera affair with him in the middle of the afternoon. He says, no, your husband has given me the authority over everything he owns, but he has not given me the right to touch one part of your body. No, I will not have sex with you. And she kept coming every day at him and hitting him and hitting him. No. And one day she got so lustful, she grabbed a hold of him and he pulled apart and his tunic and his coat was ripped off in his hands, in her hands. And she was standing there and she was so jilted that she called the guys that were out working in the yard and said, come, look what this Hebrew has done. He has tried to rape me, and shows his coat. Again, his covering is used against him. And what happens? He's put into prison for 2 years. He thought he was going to make it. Things are good. 2 years he's quiet and they put him in charge of the prison and he makes it perfect. And then he's taken from the prison and put in the palace. You know, your life may have its ups and its downs and its lonely moments and its sad and painful moments. And those nights when you look up and say, is there anybody there? Why would this happen to me? Why did you do this, God? God, are you there? Elo, Elo, lama sabachthani, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? God hasn't forsaken you. Nah, he's right next to you. It could be through a person you're sitting with, that you're married to, or you're living, one of your little boys or girls with. God loves you. And he's a father that knows your weakness, but when you're weak is when he becomes strong. He's a father that knows your devotion isn't really that deep, but his love gets deeper, his sacrifice gets deeper, just hoping you'll be drawn closer to him. So as you take this communion, remember this is the truth. That God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never die, but have everlasting life. Father, may you bless us with your presence and your love as we hold this cup and this bread. And Father, may you take the rejection, the loneliness, the pain, the sorrow, the sadness, the rejection, and the things that have caused us to err in our judgment. May you take our sin. And may you cover it with your love right now. May you let the truth speak freely to our souls. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
That's Mike McIntosh closing our study today on Chapter and Verse. Join us next time in John's Gospel as we look at the crucifixion to see that the spirit of contention dies at the cross. That's coming up tomorrow on CNV. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Thanks for joining us today on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.